Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Happy Monday, party people. Thanks so much for making us party day. It is the Chad Benson Show. Still reveling in yesterday's victory by the Patriots. Even though I did pick the Atlanta Falcons, might as well pick the Hawks. That's the basketball team in Atlanta. I did pick them, and they failed to win. But, you know, my love of the Tom here and the failure, that's on them. That is on them. They're going to have to live with that. Man, you got to live with that. That's a long time. If you ask anybody, would you rather be blown out or would you rather lose like that yesterday? Blow me out. That's it. Crush me. You know what I mean? Because you got to live with it. You snatched defeat from the jaws of victory kind of feel. Oh, absolutely crazy. Speaking of crazy, you know, the media is, well, I mean, this relationship with President President Trump, you know, President Obama's relationship with the media was really good. I mean, they're talking about getting into the correspondence dinner. I mean, this is, you know, you get to roast the president. Now people may not show up to this and they can't get anybody to show up. It's insane. And, you know, he is obviously has a very bad taste in his mouth in the media. And some of it's his doing. A lot of it is their doing. It's a give and take. They fire back and forth to each other. But, you know, the media is not acting very mature either. They can sit here and write all kinds of columns about Trump and say a bunch of things about Trump, but they're not acting very mature at all. And over time, it has been, it's evident. Look, they've got it out for this president, especially certain outlets who are not big fans of the president. And here's the thing. If you think a president's this bad and you think he's going to fail this bad, you don't have to make stuff up. And you don't have to be, you know, openly cheering on his demise if you think he's this much of an idiot. But if he isn't an idiot, and I don't think Trump is, if he does have a fighting chance and turning this country around and doing some stuff, and I think he does, then if your politics doesn't jive, you better figure something else out. They like access. Media's not getting access. They're not really sure what's going on. Medium columnist Michael Wolff was talking to CNN's Brian Stettler, and he says, essentially, journalists across the board are having a nervous breakdown in dealing with this administration.
Since the election, David Remnick, the editor of the New Yorker, has gone off in fits of bloviation, never seen in the New Yorker before. No facts, no nothing. He knows nobody in this new administration, has done no reporting, and yet the world is coming to an end, in his view.
And that's true. I mean, there's an elitist feel to media, especially writing media, you know. The New Yorker, the New York Times, they don't look at us as media, and they got to understand something. You know, I was on a call on Friday for I'm doing a speech in a couple weeks or in a month in I think we're in Atlanta for a couple days, and we're doing this big thing, and I'm on a panel and I guess doing the speech and, you know, talking about, you know, next generation for, you know, talk radio and talk radio in general and all these kind of things. And when I was sitting there listening to all them talk, you know, most of them were an older generation than me, and they were talking about stuff. They're still stuck there. I know, you know, I mean, maybe it's a Richard thing to say, but it's true. I mean, they're still stuck there. They're still back in 2002. They're trying to figure out ways to make things the way they used to be. You know, print media has an elitist attitude. They want the things the way it used to be. We want to be treated as if. They don't look at somebody who's doing a Skype call, and I'm going to be on one of those soon with Trump or Spicer and them. They don't look at that as something that is innovative. They look at it as, oh, that's ruining media. Well, it is media. It's no longer just your part of the press, your print media. It's your media, no matter what you do anymore. And they are having a nervous breakdown, especially the elitist of people out there who've written columns for years and still use typewriters because the computer's never going to change that. They struggle because things have changed so fast. And one of the things that's changed, this White House isn't buddy-buddy pals with them. They have a very, very touchy relationship. And I think Trump loves it. Trump loves touchy relationships. He doesn't ever want you to get comfortable. because that doesn't do him any good. He always wants you thinking, and he's doing that to the media. He's doing that to the press. He pokes, he prods, he fires back, and just when you think you're about ready to explode, he reels you back in with something nice, and then he goes back to the way he used to be. He doesn't want you to be comfortable. Michael Wolff continues.
I think that one of the things about this new circumstance in this new administration is that you got to get in. You got to meet these people. You got to talk to these people. You have to see what's going on. I am the only person, it would seem, who is actually having this conversation. And then my conversations with these people then get retailed throughout the media chain.
Catch more flies with honey. Nothing wrong with being a little nice. Nothing wrong with sucking up a little bit to the media, sucking up to the Sean Spicers of the world, treating them a little different, giving them a little favor every now and then because you're going to get access, right? That's what you want. You want access. And these are human beings. Dealing with human beings, doesn't matter who you are, you're still a human being, right? You still have feelings. You still have, you may be mentally stronger than other people, but it doesn't mean you don't have feelings. It doesn't mean you don't care. And you've got to learn how to play the game as much. They just want pure access. See, President Obama gave them access to some stuff, but he wasn't the most transparent, as he promised us he was going to be. I think we heard that 1,000 times. Trump is Trump. He don't care if you cover him or not. I don't care. It means nothing to me. I think you're full of crap anyways. And I've got a group of people out there who voted for me who also think you're full of crap. So they're going to get their news that I want them to get through me, which is also something that has pissed the media off. Is he has found a way to usurp them using things like Twitter to get a message out there that the media would like to control. Trump wants to control the message. The media wants to control the message. This is the fight you're going to have for the foreseeable future. Is Trump wants to control a singular message, as anybody does. Doesn't matter what it is, right? If you have a business, you want to control your brand, right? You want to control everything that is your brand. The messaging, all of those kind of things. You don't care if 1,000 people buy your widget, but you know what? I'm going to control the messaging because I'm only going to show the best people that bought my widget. Not everybody who bought my widget. There's the messaging there. The media is usually the messenger, but the media could take the message and do certain things with it, and that Trump isn't comfortable with. So he will take the media, and he'll just move them to the side, and he'll reach the people that he wants to reach via Twitter, via, you know, being on television every day, using the media, and he'll just go right over them. He'll bulldoze them. That's uncomfortable for a lot of people. The media is having a breakdown because they no longer see themselves as an important part of this, right? They no longer see themselves as we are an important part of this administration and this and the government because we report on what the government's doing. We get it out there. No, he looks at them as an enemy at times and will use them when he needs to, but he also now has vehicles himself that he can use to get his message across, and he doesn't trust them. And I don't blame him for that. Look at all the people in the street that are out there. Trump is love Trump's hate. And you got thousands upon hundreds of thousands of people that every single night are across the nation, by and large, are out there in some way, shape, or form protesting something that Donald has done. It's all emotions. Human beings have emotions. Writers have emotions. They're worried, too, because they're human beings. And we no longer have that impartiality in the media. Instead, what we see a lot of times is people will pick and choose, and they'll say, I'm in the media, I'm impartial. You're not. We could read through your writing. You're not impartial. If he did 9 things today that were great and 1 that wasn't so great but really didn't harm anybody, you would focus on that. But that's what we want out of our media, right? Because you go somewhere to consume your media in a certain way. Other people go another way. Fox and the Breitbarts and everybody else on the right side is going to get they're going to get more access now and made somewhat legitimate by this administration than the New York Times, than the LA Times, than those quote unquote media outlets that have been there for a long time. And they don't like that. They're hoity-toity. They're old school. That's new money. They're old money. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. People texting in, loving the GOAT. GOAT. You didn't hear last hour talking about Brady. I said he's a GOAT. I posted that last night. I think it's fair to say that Brady is the GOAT. And people are like, he won. How can he be a GOAT? GOAT means greatest of all time. GOAT. I think they took that from, what's his name, Earl Mandigoat? I don't know if you guys remember him. Probably not. That's way before everybody's time. He was one of the greatest basketball players of all time, Rucker Park. They say he maybe was the greatest player to ever play, but yet he never played because he had a lot of issues. But they used to call him the GOAT, greatest of all time. You can call the program 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. The ladies will join us. Diamond and Silk at the bottom of the hour talk about 2 weeks into Trump. Lots of fights ahead. What do they feel about the Muslim ban and all of the other fights that are coming straight ahead at Trump and his administration? But we do this thing called What's Next. I touched a bit on it last week, but I read a great article in Esquire magazine. What's next for men? It's the Chad Benson Show.
This is going to be easy. Let's see what's next.
I know you're not going to like what I have to say next, but facts are facts.
What's next?
What's next?
What's next?
I read a great article over the weekend in New York Times about the death of the Esquire man. I think for those of you who have ever read a magazine, we've all remember the Esquire. Esquire magazine was one of those magazines where, you know, you go there and it was a man's magazine, right? It was a man's magazine. We still have some of those man magazines out there, you know, but that was a magazine where it celebrated a certain different kind of man, right? You know, the kind of guy that was, they used to have the three B's, they used to say. Brown liquor, boxing, and bullfighting. It was a man's thing. And as I look forward and I see all that's going on in college campuses and the way that people are acting, and it's, you have to start asking yourself, what's next for men, right? In this day and age of the LGBTQ, can't say anything, can't act anyway, everybody gets to go whatever bathroom they want to go to, I don't know what I can and can't say anymore, how dare I play guns with my boy, don't wear a helmet, and all of these things, you start to ask a question, what is next for men? You know, yesterday we watched a football game where there was a quintessential man that played in that game. Tom Brady is—he's man. He's married to a supermodel. He is—you know—he is no bones about it. He lives his life in front of the world. He's a tough ass. He is a man's man. That's the way you kind of look at him. Yeah, he showed some chinks in his armor as far as his—his—you know—during the week he got a little emotional about his dad and his mom's battling cancer right now, but. That's a man, right? You know, you can't even say that anymore. Be a man. You can't say that. That's the thing. You can't say certain words. We've gotten to this point, especially for men and young boys who are confused as hell over who they're supposed to be, what they're supposed to be like. I have a 6.5-year-old. I tell everybody I'm trying to raise the best man possible. Well, that's not very, well, it's not very what? What if he chooses not? No, what? What if he, what? I want him to be a man. That's right. Ladies, do you want a man? It's funny. You talk to women after all of this stuff and you know, you ask them, do you want a man? They're like, yeah, I want a man. I don't want a guy in skinny jeans. I don't want a guy who's worried about everything. I don't want to, you know, I want a man. But we don't want men to be men. We sure in the hell don't want little boys to be little boys. What's next for men? Because I read this article. They said they're having the same trouble. In this new world of so many rules, what was once cool to be a man, and that's what you strive to be if you were young, you're a young kid and then a young man, and then to be a man, you can't do that. You can't even talk about that. Oh my God, they use the word man as a connotation that may destroy somebody on a college campus, right? It may destroy, oh my God, how dare you? Producer Phil sent me something last week from England. This is the insanity of the world we live in. That pregnant women inside of the medical, you know, National Health Service over there, they're advising the health professionals not to use the word pregnant around people when talking about patients, because it may upset people who are trans. Are you kidding me? This is the world we live in. This is the world we live in. It's the fear of having a son. Last week we talked about it. How do you raise a son to be a man when society doesn't want you to raise a son to be a man? They want you to raise your son for you, and they'll tell you what he should be like. No, I want my son to be a man. I want him to be tough. I want him to be honest. I want him to be fair. I want him to be hardworking. I want him to be like my grandfathers are, like I hope I am. What's next for men is a confusing world, especially young men, little boys. It's a confusing world out there because we don't want them to be what was once considered the best thing to be. Because heaven forbid that you're a man, because if you're a man, that means that you're some patriarchal, evil human being that wants to rule women and put them all back into... No, that's not being a man. Being a man is handling your business. Being a man is somebody who's honest. Being a man who's somebody who's fair. Being a man who's somebody who can see both sides of things. Being a man is somebody who will come to the aid of somebody who's in the underdog situation and fight for them. Being a man is more than just looking back in the 1950s wacky way that women want to point out that that's what you want when you say be a man. No. But let me tell you what I don't want. I don't want what I see a lot of now, which is this lily weenie ass man that wears skinny jeans, is afraid of their own damn shadows, has an opinion for everything, but God forbid you give an opinion back because that may melt them, and who's terrified of just about everything on earth. No, it's time we start looking forward and say, what's next for men? How about men be men again? The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, CHADBENSON. They're going to join us here in a little bit. Diamond and Silk. We're going to talk about we're into week three of the President Trump regime. How are they feeling? Are they excited? And are they going to play a part in any of this? It's the Chad Benson Show. Before I am through, I want to be yours, pretty baby.
Yours and yours alone. The Chad Benson Show.
That I'm bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad.
Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Oh, happy, happy, happy Monday. How you doing, party people? Thanks so much for making us part of your day. It is the Chad Benson Show. A lot of stuff happening in the world of politics. A lot of stuff happening because Trump is being Trump, and he's doing exactly what he said he was going to do. These ladies join us. They were on the Trump train early. They were on the Trump train always. They never stopped believing. Diamond and Silk. Hello, ladies.
Hi.
Hi.
So we're 2 weeks in. How are you guys feeling? How are you soaking it up so far? Because I'm not going to lie to you. There's been some controversy, and there's been a few missteps, which is expected, but... How are you feeling right now about the way things are progressing?
Well, you know, I really feel good about everything. You know, Donald Trump is doing what he said he's going to do. He's going to drain the swamp. He's going to keep our country safe and secure. And he's going to start working on jobs, bringing those back in, rebuilding our inner and urban cities. I think what really concerns me is the fact that whenever he do something, the media takes it, run with it, twist it, so that they can get a reaction out of the liberals and have them protesting and acting crazy in the streets. Mm-hmm. That's what I don't like.
That's right.
You know what? You did say something about the inner cities, and I saw you guys posted something today. What was there, 55 murders in Chicago last week? They're on a record pace again.
51.
You thought last year was huge. This year could be just massive.
Mm-hmm.
And he's even talked about sending in the feds, which is, you know, I worry about a federal police forcing, police enforcement. But he is really taking to heart the inner city of America, and I don't think people actually see that.
Absolutely. It was 51 murders, so that means over one person died a day in Chicago. And it's the violence and the crime is just it's unacceptable.
That's right.
And if the mayor don't know how to handle that, then President Trump need to send in the feds. That's got to stop. Another thing, we have to keep our country safe. He's trying to keep our country safe before something happens on our soil. And so these judges that's coming out and these people that's coming out and saying, well, no, we want people from these different countries to come in, be able to come into our country. Then when something happens, who's going to be blamed? I hope they don't blame President Trump for that.
Right,
and this is
right.
A temporary pause on immigration until they can come up with ways to properly vet people that comes into our country.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? It is the president's job and duty to keep the American people safe.
That's right. And how is it okay to use our Constitution to protect illegal immigrants or non-American citizens, but is deemed unconstitutional to use the same Constitution to protect the American people?
It's crazy.
I just don't get that.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. We're talking to Diamond and Silk here. You know, you talked about the ban. One of the things I've seen in the first couple months, ladies, is the first couple weeks is there's a communication issue. And inside of the White House, I don't know what it is. We can all laugh a little bit at Sean Spicer. He looks like he's just, they're getting their legs underneath them, but there does have to be a clear way that I think they roll some of this out, because there was a lot of confusion with this ban. And again, it's a travel ban. It's not a ban in Muslim countries. Indonesia is the largest country in the world that has Muslims, and they're not on there. Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, many of these countries are not on there. But there does need to be, I think there needs to be a rewording and reworking of some of this stuff, because I think there's all too often here too much confusion, which just gives the media more fodder.
Well, it was a pause. It is considered a pause. It's the media that took and turned it into a ban.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say and use the word ban, think of the definition. You think that means permanent. But President Trump is talking about a temporary pause on these different seven countries so that we can learn how to properly vet these people and enforce the laws that's already on the book. Under President Obama, he used the same law to do the same exact thing, and we did not have these issues that's going on in the street right now with people protesting against it.
Yeah, no. And that, you know, that's one of the other things, you know, the protesters are everywhere. They are loud, and I don't want to blame all millennials, because I think there's a good group of people that are put here by the Soroses of the world who are to cause a bunch of crap.
This is paid protesting at its finest, but they don't understand and what they don't realize. This is the reason why the left lost. And if we keep saying this here, this is going to be the reason why they lose in 4 years.
That's right.
People are tired of this protesting.
Mm-hmm.
This is about keeping our country safe. Let's put a temporary pause so that we can come up ways to properly vet these people when they come to this country. We don't want anyone coming trying to hack off somebody's head, trying to gun down American citizens, because we have enough problems in our country alone. Look at Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
51 murders last month. 51 murders. That's crazy.
And I don't call them paid protesters anymore. I call them paid agitators, because they're out there rioting in the streets. They're not peacefully protesting. They're out there rioting and destroying people's property.
And then what happens in the midst of those protesters if somebody come and just want to gun them down? What happens if somebody want to do a terror attack in the midst of those protesters? Who get blamed for that? Because what I don't want them to do is to blame President Trump when he's trying to keep us safe and they're protesting wanting to keep the borders open and just let people just come across here, and we don't know how to properly vet these people. So they really need to, they can't have this both ways. Either you want safety or you don't. But when something happens, do not blame President Trump for it.
Talking to Diamond and Silk, and they got it all going on today. Now we move from all of those places to the economy. And my thing is if the economy's going good, if the economy's moving forward, and we're moving forward, ladies, I think, you know what, a lot of this stuff goes by the wayside, because if you got some more jangle in your pocket, guess what? Life's a little bit better. So far, he is pushing all the right buttons. He is doing some stuff. But, you know, the likes of Wall Street, they like stability. They want to see tax cuts. They want to see the regulation stuff. They want to see this stuff happen. And now we're hearing today that tax cuts could be a bit away, which makes – there's pause right there. There's pause right there. And he's got to do some stuff, because it's about economics. In the end, if we all have jobs, you know this, and they're all well paid, we got smiles on our face.
Absolutely. And I think that the tax cuts, they will come in due time.
All right.
Give President Trump a chance to organize this, get everything organized and lined up. First of all, we got to get everybody confirmed. I think there's some hold up with that.
Yeah.
We got to get everybody confirmed, everybody in their place so that everything can run smoothly. But I do believe that the tax cuts are going to be in place. Everything that he campaigned on, I believe those things are going to be put in place.
They are going to be put in place. But here's the deal. Whenever he began to do that, all of this opposition, all of this fighting against it needs to stop because it slows up the process. And this clearly should show the American people what's been keeping this country stagnated.
That's right.
Every time we go to do something right, here come the left coming back, doing something wrong. Oh, you shouldn't be doing this and you shouldn't be doing that. And it keeps this country stagnated. Mm-hmm. It is time for us to move this country forward. And for the ones that don't want to go, they can leave the country.
That's
because
right.
We are ready to be united as one, and that's one race, and that's the human race.
That's right.
You know, ladies, when you look at the Democrats and you look over there and you know why they lost the race, and let's be real, I mean, the Republicans played the same kind of game with Obama. They didn't have it at the beginning. They didn't have any opportunity to stop him, and we saw what happened there with Obamacare. But you look at the Republicans on that side, how do you feel they're taking to him? Because I still think there's some pushback among some of the people that are inside the Republican Party that they're not convinced, they're not 100% sold that this guy's got the goods.
Absolutely. You know, I see the elites. I call them the elites. Yeah, they're doing the pushback. But, like, I used to tell them, you can get on the Trump train and get the hell out of the way.
That's right.
Before you get ran over. Mm-hmm. Listen, a lot of these people, we, the American people, need to take a look at because these are the people that we need to try to vote out. Mm-hmm. We need to let the American people listen, our president is up there trying to work for us, and these are the people that's pushing back on it. See, let me tell you what. President Trump had that Obama didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
He had people out here that's going to keep the movement going, that's going to keep the train to movement. See, President Obama ran to hope and change. He got in office, and he forgot about all of that.
That's right.
See, you see what I'm saying? That's the difference. When we see you up there and you're not doing what we sent you up there to do, we got to come up with a way to vote your you-know-what out. You got to go. You got to go because you're not working for the American people. You're working for your own gain. You're working for your own greed and not the need of Americans.
And also to add to that, Mr. Trump, President Trump, isn't just an ordinary man. He is now the 45th president of the United States, and it's time to start respecting him and treating him as such.
That's right.
Ladies, how do people get in touch with you and go to your store?
Oh, my God, DiamondAndSilkStore.com. Get your Trump bling pins and follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. We're trying to reach 1 million likes, Diamond and Silk, or Google Diamond and Silk.
That's right.
How many likes you guys have right now?
We are at like 868,000, I believe. Or
yes, 868,000.
Yes.
Look at you, girls. You just go, girls. You just go. Love talking to you guys. Be safe wherever you're at because I'm sure you're out doing some clandestine stuff with Trump and them. I appreciate you calling today. You guys have yourself a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us. We love you.
Oh, man. You know, they make me laugh. And, you know, people are bitching about, oh, these girls. I'm like, look, they were on the Trump train. I mean, how early were they on the train, Bridgerville? I think they were on the train like 2-3 weeks in.
Yeah. They were making noise really, really early.
Yeah. Like he had just come down to the bottom of the stairs and they were like, I'm on the train. It was just Trump, his wife, a couple kids, and them. And away we had. It's very interesting. They're still there, though. They're still there, and they got to have a smile on their face. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. And you know what's great, too? Trump, you know, those women advocated for Trump along the way, Diamond and Silk. Trump was good to them. Trump brought him on stage. Trump brought him out. Trump was, he you know what? He definitely recognized that kind of grassroots effort, especially in the African-American community. He definitely saw a potential in using them, and you know, imagine where they were, you know, a year and a half ago. People didn't know who they were. Now they're reaching almost 1 million on Facebook. They've got tons of Twitter followers. They're getting millions upon millions of views a month. It's great. It is absolutely great. I love America, baby. I love America. Somebody's got flowers coming. I think we should bring this back. And Phil, I got a story for you that I think you'll quite enjoy. We'll say what? Right ahead, Chad Benson Show.
You're listening to the Chad Benson Show.
Say what, y'all? Say what?
By the way, you can text the program. Text is easy. 323-538-2423. Anything you want to talk about, 323-538-2423. We're talking about what it is to be a man, especially in this day and age with everything changing and how the new world for being a man is so skewed. One person wrote, women like manly men, not crybabies. So true. Another person wrote, I'm a man till my wife tells me to stop. Then I wait a couple days till she forgets and I can be a man again. I'm a man, baby. I'm a man. Another texter writes in, you're the parent. You teach them how to be a man and you discuss what it means to be a man. You tell them how the world's gone crazy. I talk about how to be a man or how to be a lady to my children. My cousin's children, I have discussed all the time the integrity, character, the proper generals about how that simple, about how people are formed by being the balance between the male and the female as represented by their parents. Yeah, I think so. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's nothing wrong. It's okay. It is okay, kids. It is okay in this day and age to be different. Just be who you are. But being a man means a lot of different things. Handling your business. It's being a great father. It's being somebody who cares about people. Doesn't matter if you're straight or gay, black, white, purple, green, orange. It means a lot of things. And there's nothing wrong with that. And we've sissified and wussified a lot of men in this country, and we've shamed them for the sins of the fathers according to how people view how men were many, many moons ago. And I don't buy it. I won't buy it. Not going to buy into it. I won't do it for my son either. Hey, a little say what? I think this is a great – this to me is a win-win, and I hope they bring it to my town and your town across America. It is going in next year in Nashville. It's going to be called August Moon. It is a dine-in, drive-in theater that's going to have a cover over it, all right? So it's got this giant cover over it, and you actually walk in there, and there's cars already in there. You just get into the car. It's like your table, and you watch the movie. What a brilliant idea. What an absolute, it's 40,000 foot, square foot air-supported dome, complete with simulated star sky seating and modified classic cars and full food service with full bar. I think this is awesome. It's going to have nothing but comfort food, right? Burgers, milkshakes, things like that. And this is something they're going to be rolling out from a company called Interactive Projects in New York City. I love it. That's like a say, what? That's a no-brainer to me. We've made a way for us to go to a drive-in now without actually – we're going to drive a car to a place to get out of the car to go into a place where we look like we're outside so we don't actually have to be outside so we can be inside and have food served to us in a fake car. They're all classics, by the way, all being redone. I think that's amazing. Projects are going to cost about $10 million, which I don't think is bad at all. 350-seat project. Wow, that's awesome. This is a great story, by the way. Go to proflowers.com. Use the code word Benson. You get all the great deals. Chad. Man sent flower. His wife was so excited. Debbie Cardone was so excited. She got a flower, Phil. She was super excited. She said, oh, my God. My husband, she knows because their dog is sick, and he's in the Middle East doing work. And she's just so excited. Wrong. She opened the flowers. Oh, they were at the right house. But it says, Sebastian, their sick dog. Feel better. You'll be back in the game soon. Love, Daddy. She wasn't impressed. She says, I thought they were for me. I thought, oh, he's appreciating how hard I'm working taking care of Sebastian. And she goes, I even made him a little doggy wheelchair. Oh, that's great because he's not doing so well. But by the way, Sebastian's playing the game. She took him to the vet. She said the little bugger was able to walk across the parking lot like it was no big deal. But at the house, he won't leave the couch. She goes, if I could feed him grapes all day, he'd love it. He's a British bulldog, by the way. And they are stubborn and lazy. And Phil, I got a story for you. Say, what? Longest flight in the world, commercial flight. Touchdown in New Zealand after leaving Qatar. 16 hours, 23 minutes it took. It was actually early. It flew almost 9,100 miles or about 14,500 kilometers. That's the furthest distance between two cities. The Boeing 777 landed at 7:25 local time on Monday, just a bit ahead of schedule. Now, here's the thing. It flew across 10 time zones, It had four pilots, 15 crew members, served 1,100 cups of coffee and tea, 2,000 cold drinks, and there was almost 1,100 meals on board, according to Qatar Air. So that's huge. Dude, that's a long time. What's
you
the
know,
longest
I like
flight?
Flying, and that's a long time to be in a plane
that's
for me.
That's a long time. That's like I'm about like in a 12, 14 hours, man. That's a long time. 16 and a half hours, that's an ass whooping. And I know you love to fly, Phil.
Yeah, you know, and I even when I flew to London and Paris, that was starting to get a little long for me.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It is. I mean, you know, you get an answer. You're like, okay, all right, I'm ready. I'm done. Let's go. Can we land? Can we land? Can we land? I need to get off this thing. I got stuff to do. I'm missing my trip. Oh, send your dog flowers. I love that. She was not thrilled. Not thrilled. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter. ChadBenson. You can text the program 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Oh, I'll tell you what. I get a lot of texts about what it is to be a man. What do you think it is to be a man? Text the program 323-538-2423. Have we wussified our kids in this country, especially young little boys, who we want to get them to the point where, you know what, they can be men, but we're afraid to tell them what a man is anymore because apparently the world's going to decide for us. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.